environmental conservation nonprofit on the east side of St. Paul. We spoke with her in October of 2022. Bonjour, hello, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem.
And I'm your other host, Cole Primo. Miigwech for joining us today. Native Lights is, at its core, a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Each and every week, we have wonderful conversations with great guests from a whole lot of different backgrounds. These are community leaders, healthcare advocates, educators, language warriors, you name it. We talk with them about their gifts and how they share those gifts with their community. And it all centers around purpose in our lives, and I can't wait to continue amplifying Native voices today. Leah, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for that intro. You know, I've been thinking a lot about gifts these days. I just so appreciate, as we talk with more and more people for Native Lights, just seeing everybody's unique gifts.
Yeah, today we're chatting with Maggie Lorenz. Maggie is an enrolled member of the Turtle Mountain Band of Ojibwe and descends from the Spirit Lake Dakota Nation. She's the executive director and Wakan Tipi Center Director at the Lower Phalen Creek Project. That's a Native-led environmental conservation nonprofit on the east side of St. Paul. So I can't wait to ask her about that project. And she also serves on the board of directors for several organizations, including the Tiwahe Foundation and the American Indian Advisory Board. And here she is. Bonjour, Maggie.
My name is Maggie Lorenz. I am Dakota and Anishinaabe. I was born and raised here in the Twin Cities and metro area, but my home reservation is Turtle Mountain, and I'm also from Spirit Lake, both in North Dakota. And so that's like my mom's side of the family, and my dad's side of the family is Irish and German immigrants. And so they kind of met in the middle. Like, my dad's family settled in Wisconsin and my mom, you know, comes from North Dakota communities. And so, yeah, met in the middle in Minnesota. And that's kind of how I came into the world and into this place. And I live and work on the east side of St. Paul. And I do work with Lower Phalen Creek Project, focusing around environmental and cultural conservation and preservation work and restoration, in particular around some culturally important sites in the city of St. Paul, or known to Dakota people as Iminijaska, the area of St. Paul. But the site that we work with is Wakan Tipi, which is a Dakota sacred site, a cave site that is also connected to spiritually and physically to the burial mounds at Indian Mounds Regional Park. So it's kind of like this landscape, this cultural landscape that we're really working to preserve and restore.
Since you mentioned it, we might as well get into it. Could you talk about your, you know, your role as the Wakan Tipi Center Director and, you know, how you approach that area?
Yeah, so I got involved with this work as a staff member in 2019, but I was also involved, you know, for a couple of years prior to that as a community member, as Eastsider, Dakota and Ojibwe person who lives here in St. Paul on the east side. These spaces, you know, were part of my upbringing and, you know, learning stories from my mom and my aunties about the sites that I work with now. And now, you know, being in this position with the organization, I've been able to learn a lot more about the history of the sites that we have here and the cultural importance of these places. But yeah, I guess I got involved with the organization back in 2019, and we have a couple of, you know, really big projects and then some different programs that we do in the community. But the biggest project that a lot of people know about that we're working on is the development and construction of a cultural and environmental interpretive center called Wakan Tipi Center, which will be located in the Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary, which is the public city park that currently encompasses the Wakan Tipi sacred site. And so that's kind of like our main focus of work is, you know, really the restoration of that site, involving community members as volunteers to restore that site, to plant native, to remove invasive species, just to continue to tend to and care for that place. So we do a lot of programming around that. And then this cultural center that we're developing will be a physical location that is, close to the site, about a mile west of the site, that we can engage community for a gathering space and, bring back some of the things that used to happen here at this place, like ceremonies.
If you don't mind, could you paint a picture about Wakan Teepee and just, describe what it looks like to people who may not have seen it?
A lot of people aren't aware of this, but the cave, Wakan Teepee Cave, had a beautiful atrium entrance, I guess, to the cave that was historically used as the area where people would have ceremonies and other gatherings at the site prior to colonization. And then with the introduction of settlers and industry to the area, the railroad actually going through that region, that area, they took about 100 feet off of that face of the bluff, which included the entrance to the cave where all of those ceremonies took place. There was thousands of year old petroglyphs and rock art in that atrium that were all destroyed with the coming of the railroad. And so we are doing the work that we're doing now to try to bring back and restore the historical purpose of this place, which is a sacred place of ceremony and gathering.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're revisiting our conversation with Maggie Lorenz. She is the director of the Wakan Teepee Center and executive director of the Lower Phalen Creek Project, which is a Native-led environmental conservation nonprofit on the east side of St. Paul. We spoke with her in October of 2022.
So restoring the space, restoring the area, when so much has happened between then and now, what is the vision and what is kind of the, what would be maybe the definition of restoration in this case?
I think we've been having some really amazing conversations on our team here about what that means to us. And we've been talking about how the work that we're doing isn't to try to or attempt to go back to a past that is gone, and so we're not trying to recreate how this site may have looked in the 1600s or 1700s, because that's not realistic to where we're at. I mean, it's interesting, there was we do a lot of engagements with non-Native communities, and I was recently presenting somewhere, and one of the non-Native people who I was presenting and just sharing about this project asked if we were going to do like historical reenactments of something at the site. And I was like, no, that's not part of the plan. And so really what we are trying to do is restore the honor and restore the purpose that this site has in our culture and in our nation as a place of ceremony and a place of gathering, and restore the land to a healthy state, because it was so heavily polluted and just desecrated through more than 150-ish years of industrial use after Dakota people were exiled from the state. And so with that lack of our presence and then stewardship of the site, there was a lot of desecration and pollution and things that happened there. And so we want to restore the health of the ecosystem. We want to restore the purpose of the place and the honor to the place. But we want to create and vision with the community about what is the future of this place for Indigenous people in the Twin Cities. How can we develop the work that we're doing here? How do we develop that in a way that brings back and welcomes back people who have been exiled, brings back our teachings in this 2022, you know, where we're at now in the world. And one of the folks on our team calls us Dakota futurists. You know, we're not trying to recreate the past, but we're really trying to hold on to what's meaningful and significant and important about our culture and bring that into the future.
And you mentioned for the community, is this done then in collaboration with people in that specific region, or is there also a connection with maybe tribes or something more formal, or is it community members?
It's both. So yeah. I think this is a really unique project because, you know, a lot of times when things happen in the cities, they might be somewhat disconnected from tribal communities. And I think what we're doing is really unique in that we have really strong collaboration and partnership with the four Dakota communities in Minnesota. So Prairie Island Indian community is deeply invested in the project and has been huge supporters in terms of, you know, just resources and guidance and support. Shakopee, also Lower Sioux, Upper Sioux, all of their tribal historic preservation offices have been involved in the development of the, you know, not only the design of the building itself, but the development of the interpretive experience and the exhibits and all of those things. So, and in addition to that, we wanted to have equal weight or equal voice for Native people who live here in the Twin Cities. And so we have a number of Eastside residents who are Native that are on our committee. So, you know, we have authors and historians and educators and language keepers who are living in the Twin Cities and may or may not be enrolled in a Minnesota tribe, but are part of our Indigenous community here in the Twin Cities. So it's just a really great group of people that are working on this project.
So could we, you know, you discussed the Walk-On Teepee. Could we broaden it out to the, you know, the Lower Phalen Creek project and just, you know, what the goals are with that and just maybe the importance of that Lower Creek Phalen area for Native peoples?
Yeah, so the organization has, you know, was born of this vision to restore or daylight, is the technical term for it, I guess, this creek, this waterway that connected Lake Phalen on the east side of St. Paul to the Mississippi River. And this creek was forced underground in the early 1900s, again, early settlers to the area trying to develop the city and put a lot of our creeks and streams underground. And so our organization was born again from this vision to restore the creek to the surface. And so this group started this vision and this work back in the late 90s. And there's been just a lot of work behind the scenes and getting stakeholder support and community engagement for decades. And finally culminated in 2018, 2019, we did a feasibility study to determine how feasible is this to daylight the creek now. This creek was put underground over 100 years ago. So is this something that is possible to do with all of the developments that happened in the last 100 years on the east side? And so we did this feasibility study, and the outcome is that, yeah, there's some sections of the creek that might have to go, you know, through pipes, but a majority of the creek can be restored to the surface, the creek flow. And so we're working with some water engineers, and I'm learning all kinds of cool stuff about how these kinds of things happen in the urban area and, you know, urban landscaping and planning and design. And this year were awarded through the state legislature, through the Lasard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council, a little over $3 million to actually restore this first section of the creek to the surface. So just south of Lake Phelan, we're going to be kind of kicking off our design and planning phase of work in 2023. And then in 2024, we're going to be starting construction to actually restore this creek to the surface. So we're super excited about that project. So Lower Phelan Creek project on a whole, we do like these larger scale, we have a history of doing these larger scale restoration projects. The first major project that the organization accomplished was the restoration of Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary, which again is where the land where the Wakontipi Cave is currently, the boundaries are currently within that sanctuary.
So obviously it's clear that, you know, you have a lot of passion for, restoring, daylighting these areas. And I'm just curious, we like to get to, you know, what makes people tick on the show, what led people down their path. Could you talk a little bit about that? Like, what set you on your path to doing this type of work?
That's a great question. And I feel like I can't really answer it without getting all spiritual and, not that sacred, but I mean, it kind of was like, I felt like a spiritual thing, that led me to doing the work that I'm doing here. So prior to working with Lower Phelan Creek Project, I worked in education, and I worked in higher education and like student services, student support services for, 6-7 years. And then I moved to K-12, again, doing like student support services, really passionate about that because education changed my life so much. I mean, I grew up low income, poor, I don't know, however you want to title that. And we didn't have a lot. And I just felt like, how do I get out of this situation, for myself? I didn't want to grow up having my lights turned off all the time and not having enough food in the fridge. And that was just a reality I dealt with as a child. And I wanted to figure out how not to have that be the circumstances for my family and kids. And so I truly believe it was through higher education that I was able to make a better life for myself and my children. And so I started that kind of career path in student support services because I believed so much in the power of education to change lives and change outcomes for people in our community. And so I did that for a good while. And then, after about 10 years or so of doing that, it was just really hard to exist as a Native person in these larger systems and to, deal with the tokenism that goes with the territory of being like the one Native person in the department or in the whole division or whatever that people go to with all kinds of interesting questions. I think interesting is like the word people use in Minnesota, the Minnesota yeah. nice term, but it's like, okay, why am I getting all these questions? And it's like a big part of your job turns into just, this like random cultural education as the one Native person there. So I just got really tired of that. And then also there was just things that I wanted to do that I felt like, because of the system and the big bureaucracy that is public school systems and higher education systems, it was hard to engage with community the way that I wanted to engage with community. And so I needed to kind of take a step back and rethink about how I wanted to kind of make my way and do something that felt like it was feeding my soul. And so I took like a year off of work and I started volunteering with all these different organizations that I liked. And that's kind of how I got involved with Lower Phelan Creek Project initially, was as a volunteer. And then I started doing some consulting work to engage with Native community members with the work that the organization was doing at the time. And Yeah, I feel like, you know, this opportunity opened up for the director for the Wilcon Tipi Center, and I was actually on the hiring committee first for like 6 months, and we were recruiting and trying to find somebody and really, you know, not getting the applicants we were kind of hoping to get. And when we would get an applicant we liked, it kept falling through. And so ultimately, I was asked if I would be willing to apply for the position. And I just felt really underqualified, I guess, you know, like to lead an organization. I never even worked in nonprofits, let alone leading a nonprofit and leading a capital campaign. And it was really kind of intimidating for me. But I don't know, I talked to my elders and I prayed about it. And I just said to Creator, if I'm supposed to be here, then I guess I'll apply and I'll get hired. And if I'm not, like, please don't let me get hired for this job, you know? And I ended up getting hired. So and since that time, I just feel like there's been so many just amazing things that have happened that have really led me to believe that I'm being helped in this work. I'm being aided in this work to restore, again, like the protection and honor and sacred nature to these sites on the east side of St. Paul that I think by and large people have really forgotten how to respect these places and how to engage. And that's definitely true in the non-Native community, and doing that work to kind of influence landowners and policymakers to think about how these sites are managed has been like the big lift that we're trying to do now.
Wonderful. See, oftentimes leaders are chosen, and that is just a testament, I think, to your values and what you bring, which leads me to my next and final question, from me anyway, is about leadership. How do you bring your values and background into your leadership position?
Yeah, I think it's definitely been like 3.5 years of, I don't know if you've ever seen those memes where it's like Creator is giving you a lesson and like everything is like chaos or something. And it's like, oh, do I need to learn this lesson right now, Creator? And yeah, you're like breaking down and crying and everything is just seems like madness. And I kind of feel like that's a little bit for my personal like growth as a leader, I guess, if you want to call it, and doing that, I guess. But I don't know. It feels weird for me to call myself a leader. But I do feel like I've been learning and growing so much and just, I don't know how to get things done, how to get things done like this in a good way. And so I guess what I bring, well, okay, I can tell you this. What I bring is, I think, authenticity to the work. And so we had our fall fundraiser a few weeks ago, and one of my board members, when we were kind of debriefing the event, was like, yeah, you know, it turned out really well. I think it was really nice, but it was just, you know, it was kind of interesting how it was like, it's just a little bit like unpolished. And like, you know, I think he was just used to seeing more scripted, like really highly organized types of fundraiser events. And I think ever since I've taken over as the director, executive director for the organization, it's like, we're just Indians. Like, we're not trying to be chiefs over here. We're not trying to be anything other than just who we are, and just like bringing that authenticity to the table. And it feels really good that I don't have to leave that at home too when I come to work. And so, yeah, I think that's something that I value a lot too. And I value in our team and the organization that we're building is that we're not trying to be anything other than just who we are already.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're revisiting our conversation with Maggie Lorenz. She is the director of the Waukon Teepee Center and executive director of the Lower Phalen Creek Project, which is a Native-led environmental conservation nonprofit on the east side of St. Paul. We spoke with her in October of 2022.
I just had one little question. If you had any final thoughts before we go.
Yeah, I mean, I guess something that motivated me or inspired me to really get involved with this work is, you know, that local environmental leadership. And so I think it's amazing and like necessary that we have like these larger movements, you know, like what happened at Standing Rock, and that get national attention. And those types of things are super important. But I personally, and for who I am, I feel like where I fit into the world is like that local level. And, you know, I've kind of talked to different, you know, members of our team here, and especially like youth. I like to talk to youth about this too, but it's like all of those things, you know, like having people who are really like boots on the ground, activists, organizers, protests, rallies, that kind of stuff. That's like not my thing. It's so critical to the work that we're doing, but it's not what we do at Lower Phalen Creek Project necessarily. And it's not like Maggie Lorenz. It's like not something that I'm like a huge person that's going to be like organizing that kind of stuff. But like the work that we do at Lower Phalen Creek, like this stakeholder engagement with like the city and that council and the DNR, and it's like trying to do that like long-term strategy policy work behind the scenes stuff, like that's important too. And so I think sometimes we can really, I don't know, I guess I don't want to like talk about our community or anything, but it's like sometimes in all communities like people can really bring each other down or something. But I think it's really important that we support one another's work, even if it's not something where you're personally drawn to that kind of activism or that kind of like change making. It's just, there's so many places and ways to plug in, and it's just about finding what works for you and where you can plug into that kind of work. And so I guess I would just say, you know, anybody who's like interested in restoration of like native lands, that's definitely our jam, and we would love to connect.
Thank you to Maggie Lorenz. She is the executive director and Waukon Teepee Center director at the Lower Phalen Creek Project, a Native-led environmental conservation nonprofit on the east side of St. Paul. I'm Cole Primo.
And I'm Leah Lem. Miigwech for listening.
Gigawabamin.
Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine, is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
When it comes to mental health, connecting with others can be a way forward. Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connection as a comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug. Together, we can find ways to create a path forward. For more information, visit mentalhealth.org.
KFAI is excited to present the 2023 Minnesota Antiquarian Book Fair. It's a summer book fair for everyone, featuring books and manuscripts of historical interest, sourced from a variety of eras and perspectives. The Minnesota Antiquarian Book Fair welcomes both experienced and beginning collectors alike. Taking place on Friday, July 7th, from 3 until 7 p.m., and on Saturday, July 8th, from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m., the Minnesota Antiquarian Book Fair will be located at the Schoenecker Arena at the University of St. Thomas campus in St. Paul. More information, including vendors, admission, and parking, can be found at minnesotabookfair.com.
Welcome to Kano Stories, a show by people of color for people of color and everyone else. I'm Hui Lee, owner of The Other Media Group, Counterstories producer and VP of programming at Ampers.
I'm Anthony Galloway, senior partner at the Dendros Group and pastor of St. Mark AME Church in Duluth, Minnesota.
And I'm Don Eubanks, associate at Dendros Group and member of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe Indians.
Luz cannot be here with us today, but we do have a special guest, and I'll have him introduce himself.
I'm David Murrah. I'm a writer of creative nonfiction, poetry, fiction, and essays. I'm the author of The Stories Whiteness Tells Itself, Racial Myths and Our American Narratives. That's my most recent book. My book before that was an anthology that I edited with Carolyn Holbrook entitled We Are Meant to Rise, Voices for Justice from Minneapolis to the World. And it's an anthology of Minnesota BIPOC writers. And many of the essays deal with the pandemic or with the murder of George Floyd and the demonstrations that followed. And my book before that was called A Stranger's Journey.